study this morning is about action. It's about doing whatever lies nearest at hand and doing well with it. Our cover for this week's bulletin, I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at it, but if you haven't, you might want to take a look at the cover of our bulletin today. I think it says it well, what we're talking about in the next few minutes. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's what it says, and that's found in Luke 9, verse 62. Have you put your hand to the plow? I think all of us have. Are we looking back? Are we fearful as we look ahead? If we have placed our hand to the plow, let us not look back, but keep our eyes focused on Jesus. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads with me and pray just for a moment before we begin. Father, today we do want to focus on Jesus. We want to keep our hand on the plow. We want to make sure that we keep our eyes on Jesus all the way through to His coming kingdom. Be with us today as we share a couple of simple stories and illustrations and help us to understand what it means to never give up. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to share a couple of thoughts about doing things with all our might. It's been said, if you're going to do something, do it well or not at all. However, let me just add this little point, and perhaps you can identify with it this morning. Putting your entire effort into something, into a particular project or cause, doesn't necessarily mean that it will always work out exactly as you had planned. Have you found that to be the case? In fact, you may discover some major disappointments along the way. I have, and I know perhaps you have. And yet, even if you fall short, if you fall short of the mark or the ideal, that doesn't really mean that you have lost. I'd like to suggest that this morning. In fact, it may even mean that you've actually won. And you say, but Pastor, I'm confused. If you make a step in that direction and fall on your face, then that's a loss. No, it isn't. Not necessarily. Beloved, perhaps it depends on which way you fall. You see, even in the falling, you can make progress. Right? Isn't that true? Sure. For you see, if you've done your best, then you'll discover that you've actually learned from your experience. And that type of education is never wasted. In fact, that's what prepares us, beloved, for the next step, may I suggest, in our daily Christian growth. Every step is important. Let me show you what I mean. Let's take a look at a familiar face in our mind's eye this morning, Abraham Lincoln. Let's take a look at his continual effort to be the best that he could be. In his own words, he once said, I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep doing it. Do you like that philosophy? So in short, Lincoln adopted the philosophy of the wisest man that ever lived. And who was that? King Solomon. And Solomon simply said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. That was Abraham Lincoln's slogan. Now notice what Lincoln did. In 1831, he failed in business. The following year, he was defeated for legislature. Pastor, I thought you were going to give us some good news here. Remember, I said, if you fall in the right direction, that's progress, right? So let's continue his progress. So far, he's fallen twice. So he started up another business, and in 1833, he fell again. Failed. Then in 1834, he was elected to legislature. See, it pays off, doesn't it? Keep falling and falling long enough in the right direction, and eventually you'll stand up. And you know, that's nothing new because every one of you have done it. As children, as babies, we've all fallen and fallen and fallen, and eventually, if we keep falling and learning from our falls, eventually we stand up. So did Lincoln. In 1835, however, his sweetheart died. 1836, he had a nervous breakdown, but he didn't give up. In 1838, he ran for Speaker of the House and failed. In 1840, he was defeated for elector, and 3 years later, he ran for Congress. And like so many times before, he was defeated again. However, in 1846, he was elected to Congress. So you see, it paid off. He kept going. He kept going. Whatever he put his hand to, he didn't give up. He never gave up. In 1846, he was elected for Congress, but then, of course, in 2 more years, he was defeated again. Then in 1855, he was elected for Senate. But true to his own word to continue to do the best that he knew how to do, the best that he could, and keep on going, refusing never to give up, he hung in there. And in 1856, he ran for vice presidency of the United States. And sure enough, he was defeated. But look how far he had come. I mean, not everybody gets to run for president or vice president. But there he was, right next to the one of the highest men in the land, running for the office of vice president. So he was defeated, but he ran again. Every defeat, he discovered, had been an education. It had been an experience which enabled Lincoln to move closer and closer and closer to his ultimate goal. 2 years later, he was once again defeated for the U.S. Senate. That was okay. Because 2 years after that, in 1860, he was elected President of the United States of America. And that's all right, isn't it? That's okay. But you see, it didn't happen overnight. In fact, it took 30 years for Abe Lincoln to accomplish what he had set out to do. He worked through failures and defeat, through personal loss and heartache, but he never gave up. He had a dream. He had a vision of what he could become if he could only learn from his experiences and turn them into tomorrow's victories. That's what he did. That was his goal, beloved, and that was his success. In 30 years, he had moved from his log cabin beginning to the White House in Washington, D.C. Beloved, you and I, too, can move from our little humble beginnings, no matter how humble they may have been, and eventually into the heavenly mansions of our Heavenly Father, into His paradise. And you and I can do that because Jesus went to prepare a place for those who were willing to do their best with what lay nearest at hand, to do well with it, and never give up. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. The tragedy is that so many of us give up and fail to advance beyond where we are. We reach a particular plateau, perhaps even in our relationship with God, and are just satisfied. How long would a marriage stay together if we just got married and then everything leveled off? A marriage was made to get better and better and better. Love is somehow made to grow and expand and never end, never die. But again, the tragedy is that so many of us give up and we don't move beyond where we are. It's the last part of Lincoln's philosophy I'm suggesting this morning that we need to focus on today in our personal lives. Remember again, he said, I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep doing it. He never gave up. It was Lincoln's philosophy to keep going no matter what came his way. King Solomon gives us this same little key. We've already referred to it at the beginning of verse 10. Not the end of the philosophy, but the beginning of the philosophy. Whatsoever, that's the word, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. In other words, there is never a time when we can slack off. For every day there are things all around us that we can do. Age is not a factor either. Whether old or young, there is a whatsoever for every one of us to do every moment of every day. Do you believe that? There is something that we can do to move beyond where we are. The question that we need to be asking ourselves this morning is, what are we doing with our whatsoevers today? From the book Ministry of Healing, page 472 and on, we read these interesting thoughts about you and me, about people. Listen to what this author suggests. Many are dissatisfied with their life work. Is that you? Is that me? It may be that their surroundings are not the best, but let us remember that while the work we have to do may not be our choice, it is to be accepted as God's choice for us. In other words, there's an old saying that says, bloom where you're planted. And as long as you're planted in the Dalles, why not bloom in the Dalles? Other things do, other people do, why can't you? Whether pleasing or unpleasing, we are to do the duty that lies nearest at hand. If the Lord desires us to bear a message to Nineveh, it will not be as pleasing to Him if we go to Joppa or to Capernaum. He has reasons for sending us to the place toward which our feet have been directed. Is there a reason why you came to the Dalles? Must be. At that very place, there may be someone in need of the help that you can give. He who sent Philip to the Ethiopian counselor, Peter to the Roman centurion, and the little Israelitish maiden to help Naaman, the Syrian captain of us all, sends men and women and youth today as his representatives to those who are in need of divine help and guidance. God is still sending His children. Of one thing we may be assured, God will bless and use in the advancement of His cause those who sincerely devote themselves and all they have to His glory. Lord, I don't have much, but what I have is Yours. If we would give everything we had, whether much or little, God would multiply it. And by the way, some of us perhaps wish we had more to give, but we don't have to wish for more. Just give what you have. Give what you have. We can actually advance the cause of God by beginning right where we are with what we have and who we are. Listen to these additional thoughts. Often the sacred duties that lie next to us in the home afford the very training essential to prepare us for a higher work. Often our plans fail that God's plans for us may succeed. So again, what you might think is a failure, really God says, oh, goody, goody. He made another step, fell right on his face. But he fell in the right direction. And he's going to learn from that. Next time he'll have more faith. And he can move on and on and on. So ultimately he reaches the goal. To us, many times we see our lives as nothing but a hodgepodge of directions that we choose to move. And failure after failure after failure. But God doesn't see it that way. He looks at our life and he sees the overall trend of our life. And when he sees it, if we are following him to the best of our ability, he's proud. And if we could see the end from the beginning, beloved, I'm suggesting this morning, we would be content that God never failed in our lives. We're to look up every day, and we're to look upon the duties of everyday life, however humble, as sacred because it is a part of God's service. Our daily prayer should be, Lord, help me to do my best. Teach me how to do better work. Give me energy and cheerfulness. Help me to bring into my service the loving ministry of Jesus. Because many have not the determination to take themselves in hand and to reform, they become stereotyped in a wrong course of action. That's been me. Just sort of, oh hum. I can be a better pastor than I've been. And I need to set my goal higher than it was a year ago. We shouldn't just continue to be complacent and drift along. We need to set higher goals, right? A baby that learns to stand needs to learn to walk. But a baby that learns to walk needs to learn to run. And a person that learns to run needs to learn to fly. And a person who can learn to fly is a person who's learned to dream. Higher than the highest human thought can reach is God's ideal for you and me. How high, beloved, is the ideal you have set for yourself. You and I may cultivate our powers to do the very best kind of service, and then we will always be in demand. We will be valued for all that we are worth. Not by our wealth, our education, or by our positions does God estimate us. He estimates us by our purity of motive and by our beauty of character. He looks to see how much of His Spirit you and I possess and how much of His likeness your life and mine reveal. Of all the gifts that heaven can bestow upon men, we're told fellowship with Christ in His sufferings is the most weighty trust. And it's the highest honor. Not Enoch, who was translated to heaven, nor Elijah, who ascended in a chariot of fire, was greater or more honored than John the Baptist, who perished alone in a dungeon cell. See, the point is this morning, beloved, are you and I doing the best that we can do with what lies nearest at hand? Not all of us are Enochs, and few of us will ever be Elijahs. But we can be like John. The Lord, what I have, it's yours. This week I've discovered that even nature gives us a simple illustration of some of these basic principles we've talked about this morning. When a caged bird is placed in the hearing of other voices, it will often learn a snatch of this and a little tweet of that. But it seldom will learn an entire melody or the song that its master wants to teach him. However, if the master covers the cage and places the bird where it will listen to the one song that he's to sing, then in the darkness, the little bird will try and try and try again to sing the song until it's finally learned the melody. And then, suddenly, he'll break forth in singing it perfectly. And when the master brings the little bird out into the open again, not only can it sing the melody ever afterward, but it can even sing in the sunshine and in the light without being distracted by other sights and other sounds. Is there a lesson for you and me in that? May I suggest, beloved, that this is the very way that our master deals with us. He was born to set an example for you and me. He has a song that He wants us to learn, just as He learned it. It's called the Song of Moses and the Lamb. And once we learn to sing it, we'll be able to sing it ever afterward, even though it can only be learned while covered under the shadow of the Almighty's hand. For beloved, it's often in pain and affliction. It's often in the trial of darkness and heartache that we learn to focus on the song that our Master would have us to sing. And that's why it also had to be with Jesus. He too learned what He's asking us to sing. For you see, He was born in a stable. His beginnings were less than a log cabin. And for 30 years, He too worked in a humble environment. The greater portion of His life, to some, seemed to be a waste of time. He never ran for public office. He never held an important seat in local affairs. He simply worked in a carpenter shop day after day after day, month after month, and year after year. And He carried on His Father's business when His Father laid the hammer down. Jesus always did His best with what lay nearest at hand. During the last 3 years of His life, He began a public ministry. But He was never accepted by the leadership of His church. Nevertheless, true to form, He never complained about His job or what His Father had asked Him to do. He just carried on as if driven by an unseen hand to a higher goal than human eyes could see. And during the last 6 months of His life, everything He had worked for, hoped for, prayed for, and longed for seemed to fall apart all around Him. Had He spent His life in vain? Had He come this far only to fail in His mission? To all human appearances, Jesus had wasted His life. He never became a great church leader. He never became a leader of His nation. He never even wrote a book or an article for the local newspaper. In fact, to some, he was a non-person. He was a nobody, for they often spoke of him as being Joseph's son. But a faithful son he was. Even during those last few moments of life, as he hung there between heaven and earth, as a carpenter, he was used to having nails in his hands. But not nails that would prevent him from helping a little boy with his wagon or a little girl with her dolly's crib. On Calvary's cross, he could no longer help with his hands. He could no longer touch the blind eyes and make them see again or unstop the silence of ears that could not hear. And oh, how he longed to unstop the silence of those who would not hear. But he could no longer use those hands, for they were nailed to a cruel cross. He could no longer lay his hands upon the lifeless forms of little children and bring them back to their parents again. And he would never touch the wasted forms of the unclean lepers who had been forever banished by those who seemed no longer to care. But even in death, Jesus was not to be defeated. And he is our example today. For Jesus never gave up. Whatsoever his hand found to do, he did it with his might. Leaning against the last pulpit that he would ever mount, he finished the work that he had come here to do. And in one cry of victory, he gave hope to every man, to every woman, to every boy, to every girl. For it was there on that crude cross which had been made by a carpenter that Jesus forgave the sins of the world. He forgave your sins and mine. It was there, beloved, that Jesus set an example for you and me by saying, whatsoever your hand finds to do, from the beginning to the end, do it with all your might. And please, please, don't ever, ever give up.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. If you have been blessed by this message or other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please take a moment just now and write to us. We'd love to hear how this ministry is helping you in your spiritual journey. International Copyright 1998, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes by this speaker or for a free catalog, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 1-800-233-4450. Our 24-hour fax number is 717-652-9050. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. Our internet email address is info@americancassette.org. Visit our website on the internet at www.americancassette.org. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Serving you faithfully for 23 years, we request your prayers and continued financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry, to prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.